Assalamu alaikum dear viewers and welcome back to Hawza Life, the show where we show you what Hawza Life is really like. This is my wife, Sayyida Fatima Ali.
And this is my husband, Muzaffar Abbas Haider. Today in the studio we have Sister Zainab, who's just converted to Shia Islam, and she's going to be asking us questions about Hawza Life.
And we're going to be asking her a few as well. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Welcome to Hawza Life.
Lovely to be here with you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So this is your first Muharram as a Muslim.
It is.
And yeah. It's a huge blessing for you to be able to spend that right here in the city of the Ahlul Bayt. What does it feel like so far?
It has been an amazing journey, especially the bit where since I've been in Iran.
I mean, you came here on a whim, right? You were just like, I want to go, you know, and you ended up here despite all of those difficulties that you've gone through. What's it like?
I felt freer and safer in Iran than I ever have as a woman. So it's amazing. This is an amazing place to be.
So sister has prepared some questions that she would like to ask us. And while she's asking us, we're also going to ask her a few questions off the back of that. So sister, first question.
Yeah, I think the first question I had was, what made you consider applying for Hawza in the first place?
All right. You want to go first?
You
can go first. All right, fine, I'll go first. For me personally, I felt like I'd run out of options. I felt like I had no other choice but to go to Hawza. See, everybody's a Muslim. Everybody's born a Muslim. Who is a Muslim? But then there comes a time in everybody's life where they suddenly, you know, that you have that wake-up call. And I guess you had it. You had your wake-up call. Sayyida had her wake-up call. What happened when I had mine is that I started to become more and more religious, and I started to apply Islam to my life. And eventually, I just realized that I didn't feel like I have the space to expand. I don't know how if anybody else has felt that way, but you apply Islam to your life and you keep going, and you start to grow through Islam. I might be sounding a little bit vague here, but that's what I felt like, that I had no more space to expand. I need to go to Qom. I need to get that knowledge.
For me, very simple, okay? My mom, yeah, she always told me that it was a dream to go and study in Qom. So for me, she always told me that it's my dream and I really want, we're three sisters, she said I really want one of my daughters to go and study in Qom one day, inshallah. So I was like always thinking, should I do it or should I not do it? And she also told me one thing. She said that everyone does so much for this world, yeah? Do something for your akhirah, do something for your afterlife. She told me, the best thing is you can go and gain knowledge of Islam and do something after gaining the knowledge. So I was always like thinking, should I go, should I not go? And then for me, it's like I made the niyyah, the intention, and then his proposal came and I came here.
But sister, what about you? Came here and you do want to study as well, am I right?
So I'm considering studying Hawza too. I'm going to probably do a short course first to see whether it's suitable for me and whether they can handle me too. I think the next question was what the application process is like. How long can it be?
I think that when it comes to the application process, it varies very much from applicant to applicant.
Yeah.
I think what would help is to know somebody. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I knew somebody in the UK who was a scholar himself, and he was involved with Jamatul Mustafa, with Al-Mustafa International. And he helped me get my foot in the door. For others, I've heard that they are waiting on their applications. And you can imagine, okay, you know that there are above 30,000 international students in Qom. From all over the world. I mean, there's thousands. And applications are coming in all the time.
Uh-huh. And a lot of girls who told me, they say they come on Ziyarat visa, and then they apply, they have like a 1 month Ziyarat visa. So they come here, they go to the Hawza, and then they say, I just want to stay here now. So the Hawza helps them and extends their Ziyarat visa to like a student visa. Loads of interviews, just to let you know. Loads of interviews, they ask you like, your entire life history.
That didn't happen with me.
That happened with me. When I went, they were like, I'm talking about myself.
I know, but what, let me tell you what happened with me, because it is really fun.
I'm telling her about myself first.
It's important, because she's a girl. I'm a woman, so what's it like for a woman to apply?
For me, it was very... So I had 3-4 interviews where they asked me, like, so everything about from since I was born, where I was born, what do my parents do, everything. And lots of paperwork, I had to submit passport, photographs and all that, marriage certificate if you're married and all that. And then they just bring me and say, okay, you're accepted, come to Hausa this day. That's how it worked for me.
That's it. Tons of interviews.
Interviews and
then,
paperwork.
Then it's easy.
And then it's easy, yeah.
Some people coming from overseas might have is, so medical insurance, medical facilities. Because what happens with that?
First of all, medical, wherever you go to the hospitals, it's really cheap. I just got a checkup done and it was how much?
When was it?
$5 for getting a checkup done. And medicines are really cheap. Yeah, it was 25,000 2 months.
What happens is you're supposed to get a bima, which is your health insurance. Yeah. They give you this little, we don't have a picture to show you,
it's like a notepad.
They call it a daftarcheh. So it's like a notepad and it has all your, it's blank. And you, whenever you go and you want to get a checkup, you go and show it to the doctor and he writes down, you know, how much it is.
And they give you like some discount, basically, because we're students. That's all, medical facilities.
I do have, one other question is, obviously two of you are married, and I'm just wondering, what is it like for people who are married and come here? Where do they live? And so how is that different from being a single Hausa student?
Okay, so I didn't believe this when I was back in the West. I just didn't believe it when people told me. I was like, what? But the Hausa system, for students who care about their studies and they come here and they want to serve the cause, they are given accommodation. As single students, they're given accommodation and meals, 2 meals a day. And they are taught the Islamic sciences, and they're given a little bit of pocket money. I don't know any system in the world that does that for anyone. Okay, but then when you get married as a Hausa student, it gets even more remarkable. When you get married, they supply you with accommodation of your own. So first you're in the student accommodation, but now they give you a place to live.
Your own house, and your pocket money increases.
Yeah. They call it shahriya. That increases.
Yeah.
So that you can manage your daily expenses. Then when you have a child,
it increases
more.
So if people have kids, so when kids are old enough to go to, say, primary school, so what happens? Are there local schools?
Yeah, the local schools until grade 12, I would say, and Iranian schools, it's free. But if you prefer to go to a private school, then you pay.
One thing that happens when you come to Hausa is, I don't know if it would apply to you, sister, but I've seen it apply to myself and some of my friends as well. You start to question how people should perceive you. You start to become very self-conscious, especially when you go back to wherever you're from. You start to think, should I behave in a certain way now that I've studied in the Hausa? And partly it's true. You are, in a sense, representing the Hausa now. You're representing Islam. You're representing the Ahlul Bayt out there. So yeah, you need to really get on top of yourself, you know. You need to be careful about what you say out there.
Because you know what happens usually is, for example, I don't know if I can say this example.
Go on.
It's about makeup, for example. Makeup is an issue that in Islam, you know, a woman is not supposed to have her makeup on in front of other men, right? Because it beautifies and she looks really pretty and you're supposed to hide your beauty, a woman, right? That's why we even bring this chadar in Iran, to hide her shape and everything. So for example, if we're going to a party now, that's for me, I'm telling about myself now. It's like, I really like, you know, you like makeup, you're a girl, you like that kind of stuff, right? You want to look nice. So now, before, sometimes I used to just be like, oh, it's makeup, it's all right, no one's going to look at me. Now what happens is, when I go somewhere to a party, I have to be like, no, I can't put makeup, I have to control myself. So as a Hausa student, I'm like, no, I'm representing the women of Hausa. And if I do it now, then they'll be like, oh, the Hausa ladies say, oh, you're not supposed to do it, but why is she doing it? So that's what makes me...
Because the perception out there is that everybody who's coming out of Hausa, you know, they are kind of role models. So you're not just representing yourself anymore. You're actually representing Islam. It can be a burden sometimes. And but then at the same time, we shouldn't let that affect our behavior so much that we start to become fake.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah. You can't be fake with people. You can't. I see some people floating around, sort of.
For example, like, carrying a. In your day, for example, when we're here, we're not always carrying a tasbih with us all the time. You know what a tasbih is, right?
I always get that and the little star, and I always get the names for them mixed up. I still just call them my beads. And my
the beads are the tasbih.
The tasbih, yeah. And the stone is the
mohar. Some people call it mohar. Some people call it sajdaga. Some people call it.
So that's the Pakistani Indian version.
Turba.
Oh yeah, I've heard turba. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so I'm saying like we don't do it here, so we don't want to be just sitting in front of people, and that's what he means by fake, just starting being like Allahu Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That's
okay, if,
what
if
it
you
is.
Have implemented that to the extent that yeah,
if
that,
not,
that
if
is
you have,
what you
then
do,
that's good. But if you don't do it and then you're just doing it in front of them, then that's
exactly.
Obviously
then
fakeness.
It becomes riya.
That's you know, so that's not
riya. Yeah. You know, doing something to show others.
Yeah,
and that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
But in terms of how Hausa has affected me personally, knowledge. It's all about knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I think all my questions were answered, and thank you so much for sort of just explaining so many things to me. It's wonderful.
Jazakallah, sister. Inshallah, sister, so this is your first time experiencing Muharram
in
Qom as well.
And so Muharram in Qom is, I want to say, beautiful.
Yeah, it
it's so nice, like, feels so nice, like everywhere there are banners on the street and everyone's crying for Imam Hussein and the entire city is crying for Imam Hussein.
Have you seen what happens during Muharram? Have you been given any insight into what kind of things, like for example, the latmiyas, the poetry that they recite, and then the chest beating ceremonies.
And then people cry when they're reciting.
I know about the crying. Yeah, I know a little bit about the chest beating because some friends have told me about that. But other than that, no, it's all new. I have to learn.
So she's going to learn what happens in a majalis. And we're going to go, so you're going to see, inshallah.
دعای مادرم بوده که منم امام رضایی شدم.
Well, for every culture it's different. The majalis, what we call it actually, is different for every culture. The Iranians do it in a different way, the Indo-Pak do it in a different way, the Iraqis. So everyone have their own ways.
پنجره فولاد تو دوای هرچی درده کسی ندیدم اینجا که نامید برگرده
پنجره فولاد تو دوای هرچی درده کسی ندیدم اینجا که نامید برگرده
Since you're aware of Imam Khomeini and stuff, we'll just end with this, that Imam Khomeini actually said that everything that we have accomplished, i.e. the Islamic revolution, everything, is from Ashura. Dear viewers, thank you very much for being with us. We hope you enjoyed the show today. If you do have any questions or queries of your own, do feel free to send them to us.
You can contact us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and Telegram. From my husband Muzaffar Abbas Haider
and from my wife Sayyida Fatima Ali,
we bid you Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.